2:45 p.m. to accommodate schools with split sessions is entitled Cornstalk and is written by Carolyn King. And this is Ned Staff once again saying hello to all you boys and girls. And we have another story about people who lived in our state once upon a time and are now remembered in our history books. Today we're going to talk about an Indian chief who was born in Kanawha County 222 years ago. Just a few years before another great leader, George Washington, was born. The name of this Indian was Kee-Tukwa, but colonial settlers called him Cornstalk. Now, Cornstalk was a good name for this Indian. He became chief of the Shawnee tribe, for he grew tall, straight, and strong, with light bronze skin, that of his people. There is little in history books to tell us of Cornstalk's youth, because it was not until his later years, when he became known to the white colonies, that writers told of his deeds. We can imagine, though, that his boyhood was spent like that of other Indian lads, with his father and older men of his tribe, who fished in the cold, clear waters of Campbell's Creek, which ran beside his birthplace. He learned to shoot the rapids of the Kanawha River in a canoe. With bow and arrow, he hunted for food in the wild forests that covered the hillside. And he rode horses through the trees and meadowlands, where now the city of Charleston stands. Cornstalk loved this beautiful green valley, where his people had found rich soil for their crops. He loved the freedom which he and his other friends enjoyed. Even the chores were fun, because it was exciting to stalk a deer or try his skill at shooting rabbits and squirrels. Much of his day was spent in the forest. In the evening, he would return to his wigwam and proudly present to his mother the food which he had found for the next day's meal. As he grew older, he was sometimes allowed to join the older men after supper and listen to their talk about the problems and the future of his people. And to himself, he would say, "If I were chief, I would be good to all my people, and I would try to be wise, doing what they wanted in the best possible way." It was during these councils that Cornstalk first learned about the trouble with the white settlers. Way back then, as you know, Indians inhabited most of the United States. Settlers moving to this country from Europe lived mostly along the Atlantic Ocean. West Virginia was not a state then. In fact, it was a wilderness, still the hunting ground of Indian tribes like the Shawnee. Every white man who ventured west of what is now West Virginia was an explorer. And they kept pushing the Indians back into the hills, westward toward the Mississippi River. The Indians didn't like this constant pushing. They didn't like to move their villages and find new places to live. There were good settlers and bad settlers in this raw, young country. And the bad men, those who drove the Indians away, destroyed their wigwams and sometimes killed their women and children, made all white men fear. It was this trouble that the older men discussed in their campfire meetings. For the white settlers were moving closer to the hunting grounds of the Shawnee, and the leaders were afraid that they too might be forced to leave the beautiful valley which had been their home for many years. Cornstalk listened to the talk, and although he was silent, he too was afraid and angry that these white strangers were encroaching on the Shawnee's territory. And then, one day, the moment came. Sadly, the chief called a council and told his tribe that they must go west. And so, with sorrow and resentment against the white men, the Shawnees began to move on horse and on foot. More than 100 miles they journeyed until they rested on the Scioto River in Ohio. Many years passed, and by this time, Cornstalk was a married man with two sons and a daughter. Now it was the voice of Cornstalk that was heard in the evening councils around the fire. For the Indian boy's dream of becoming chief had come true. His people had found him wise and valiant, with a wonderful gift for speaking, and they had chosen him to lead them. By moving westward, the Shawnees had not settled their troubles with the white explorers because the settlers also were moving on. The resentment which all the Indians felt toward the whites who had taken away their lands was shared by the Shawnees. Being strong and fearless hunters, they wanted to strike back. Cornstalk did not favor war with the strangers. In the councils, he would urge them to keep the peace. But the hot-blooded young men voted to fight. Remembering his boyhood resolution to lead his people as they directed, Cornstalk gave in. "It is well," he finally said, "if you go to war, that I will lead you." Thus it was that in 1759 and again in 1763, they led parties into Virginia and West Virginia. Many settlers were killed and many villages were completely destroyed. Cornstalk became known as a fierce warrior, yet he was respected by the whites for his ability as a leader. After these war years, a peace treaty was signed, and it lasted for 10 years. When occasional quarrels arose between Indians and white men, Cornstalk was able to settle them peaceably and prevent these skirmishes from developing into big battles. His friendship with the settlers became stronger when his daughter, Aracoma, married a white man and went to live in the town that we now call Logan. Maybe some of you know that Logan was first named for Cornstalk's daughter, Aracoma, and later the name was changed. These years of peace were happy ones for the Shawnee people, who felt safe under the rules of treaty. But the peace was not to last forever. In the year 1774, on the eve of the American Revolution, fighting between the Indians and the settlers broke out again. The colonists had moved as far west as the Ohio River, which was quite near the Shawnees' hunting ground. Several Indians were killed, and the whole family of the good Iroquois chief Logan was murdered. Anger blazed high, and the Shawnees were restless to be on the warpath. Cornstalk, now 50 years old, again lifted his voice for peace. But again, his people voted for war. The settlers, however, struck the first blow one day in late fall in the year 1774, when the Ohio Valley was painted with all the gold and red about him. A Shawnee scout ran breathless into Cornstalk's town and reported that a column of Virginia fighters was advancing toward Indian territory. Quickly, Cornstalk organized his braves and cautiously advanced to meet the enemy. With 1,200 men, he crossed the Ohio River and marched toward the town of Point Pleasant, where the white settlers were camped. Two white hunters discovered the advancing Indians, so Cornstalk decided to attack at once. "We will make a line behind the whites," he cried, "and drive them forward like cattle into the waters of the Ohio and Kanawha Rivers." The battle began at dawn. All day it raged, with whites and Indians fighting single combat. Rifles, tomahawks, and knives flashed. Many were wounded, some were killed. Throughout the fighting, the voice of Cornstalk could be heard, urging his men, "Be strong! Be strong!" At sundown, the battle ceased. Cornstalk, realizing that he was beaten, ordered his men to withdraw. So back they marched along the Ohio and crossed the river to their campsite. At the council that night, Cornstalk, weary and bitter, slowly arose and addressed his men. He upbraided them for not having allowed him to make peace before the battle. "What will you do now?" he asked. "The white men are coming on us and we shall all be killed. Now you must fight or we are undone." The braves were silent. "Then," cried Cornstalk fiercely and angrily, "let us kill our women and children and go and fight until we die." Still there was no answer. When Cornstalk lifted his arm with all his strength, hurled his tomahawk at the post in the center of the silent circle. "If you will not speak," he thundered, "then I will act as I think best for my people. I will go and make peace. The warriors grunted their approval as the mighty Cornstalk strode out of the council and into the darkness. And thus ended the Battle of Point Pleasant, which you will find is sometimes called the first battle of the American Revolution. And so also began another period of peace between the Shawnees and the white settlers. The white settlers were now engaged in their own revolution against the tyranny of the English king. During their war, Cornstalk regained the friendship of the colonists and once more began to help them as he had before the Battle of Point Pleasant. Leaders of the fighting settlers found that he was a wizard with maps, that he could fill in the missing places and add many valuable directions from his lifelong experience in uncharted wilds. They also found his lodge a pleasant retreat where they could discuss their plans freely, for Cornstalk was a good listener as well as a great speaker. So friendly did the colonists in Cornstalk become that he felt honor-bound to tell them when his Shawnees once more became restless. It was in the year 1777, the height of the American Revolution, that the Shawnees, persuaded by the English, again became eager to give battle to the American settlers. 1777, the year of the Bloody Sevens, it was called. Disturbed by this new war urge among his people, Cornstalk once more became a go-between for his hot-blooded warriors. And to the fort of the Virginia soldiers at Point Pleasant he went. And to the leaders he said, "My Shawnees are restless. The current sets so strongly against the Americans that I fear my people will disobey me and float with the stream." The leaders received the news with troubled minds. After talking together, they decided that they should hold Chief Cornstalk as hostage for the good conduct of his people. Willingly, Cornstalk submitted to this imprisonment because he hoped to keep his people at peace. He continued to help the Americans as best he could, but he was filled with sadness over all the fighting and bloodshed. One day, when he was advising the white leaders, he seemed to have a feeling that he was going to die, for he kept telling them again and again, "When I was a young man and went to war, I thought that might be the last time and I would return no more. Now I am here among you. You may kill me if you please. I can die but once, and it is all one to me, now or another time." He left the council and returned to his lodge, and there he was greeted by his son, who had come to visit him. And as they were talking, there suddenly appeared in the doorway the wife of one of the white soldiers. "I have come to warn you," she cried. "Two deer hunters have been slain by Indians. Some of our men are angry. They think that you have ordered your braves to shoot, and so they are coming here to kill you." And when she had finished talking, Cornstalk remained silent a moment, and then he turned to his son and said, "My son, the Great Spirit has seen fit that we should die together, and has sent you here to that end. It is his will. Let us submit. It is all for the best." And with these parting words, Cornstalk, the great warrior, yet a lover of peace, turned to the door to face his murderers, and fell silently to the floor, riddled by 7 bullets. His son fell dead beside him. And so ended the life of a great chief. His death was mourned by Indians and whites. Those rash soldiers who had killed him were scorned by their comrades. Writers of history praise the Shawnee chief and say that had he lived, he would have been a hero of the American Revolution. And if you drive to Point Pleasant someday, ask your parents to look for a monument. It is a simple monument, but it represents the honor and respect of our ancestors of a fine soldier. You can't miss it because it says in large letters, "Cornstalk." WCHS and the Junior League of Charleston, in cooperation with the Kanawha County Board of Education, have presented the last in a series of programs for this season entitled Exploring Your State. Today's program, heard at 9:45 and also at 2:45 to accommodate schools with split sessions, was heard in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grades of Kanawha County Schools, and was entitled Cornstalk, and was written by Carolyn King. The narrator has been Ned Stern. The program has been produced by Joe Ferris, and I now invite you to join us next school season at the same time for another session of Exploring Your State, and of course, musical pictures. And we'd enjoy hearing your comments on the series, Exploring Your State. So write us, won't you, to WCHS, Charleston. This has been another free educational presentation of WCHS News Radio, 580 Charleston, West Virginia.